When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
Let's start this conversation off with some facts. Fact number one, the Republican Party allegedly controls both houses of the legislature in the state of Texas. All right? Republicans are in charge of the legislature, of the lieutenant governor's office, of the governor's office. As a matter of fact, all the statewide offices are run by Republicans. Let's get that offered into evidence first. Now, with a particular focus on the state legislature, it has come to my attention that only one of the houses in the state legislature are actually working hard. The other one is mailing it in. And I believe if what I'm hearing is correct, that the Texas House is not working, is mailing it in. And the effort, according to those who are inside of the Texas House we are speaking to, the effort is this: we think our Republican voters are stupid. We're actually left-wingers at heart. So we're trying to figure out how to keep them voting for us and pretending that we're actually working, but we don't want to deliver any of their priorities, any of their conservative priorities, because we in the Republican Party in the House believe our voters are back one oh crazy. That seems to me to be the effort. And according to the level of disdain that I hear these so-called Republicans, these Charlie Guerin type Republicans, the disdain they have for their own voters is reflective of their work ethic up there in the House. Let me read from the Texas scorecard exactly what I'm talking about. Headline: Lieutenant Governor Patrick concerned that Republican priorities won't pass the House. Despite Republicans holding a majority in the Texas House, they have yet to consider any of the priorities of the Republican Party of Texas, meaning they're Republicans who don't want to have anything to do with the Republican Party of Texas, those who run the House. I know it sounds kind of weird to say, but it appears that's precisely what's going on. As the clock continues ticking on the legislative session in Texas, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says he's concerned Republican priorities won't make it out of the Texas House. In a post on Twitter, Patrick noted that the Senate had passed 316 bills, while the House had only passed 85, all while there were 45 days left in the legislative session. Quote, "I'm concerned many Republican priorities will not pass the House at this rate. Proud the Senate has passed 26 of our top 30 priorities already, and we'll finish next week," the lieutenant governor said. So, folks, I don't know what else to say to this other than I don't know who the leadership in the Texas House thinks they're fooling. But how can you undertake a legislative session where you are passing priorities that are not the priorities of your political party, the voters of your political party? Put another way, how can you claim to be a Republican when you want to have nothing to do with advancing conservative Republican ideas? Now, the idea that it's impossible, that this can't be done, is, of course, dispelled by the fact that the Texas Senate is actually doing work. They're actually working. The fact that the Texas House is sitting on their collective asses and just, oh, well, here we are, going to do whatever we want. Don't care what the Republican Party of Texas says. Don't care what our voters say. We tell you what to do. That doesn't sound very conservative. That doesn't sound very Republican, does it? When it comes to property taxes, when it comes to parental school choice, when it comes to a whole myriad of priorities, stopping the genital mutilation of children, stopping the invasion coming across the southern border, having some accountability for our legislators when they behave as the way that as the House is behaving, as John Cornyn behaves? Why isn't this the priority of the Texas House? And if the Texas House says our job is to get up here and to make sure none of the Republican priorities, none of our voters' priorities get passed, isn't it time that we changed those who we send up to the Texas House? Isn't it time for a house cleaning? More on that in a later Salcedo Storm podcast. In the meantime, it's the show behind the show with Sean Chastain coming up next.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
My friends, he's back. Time for the show behind the show. Sean Chastain, our buddy, is with us once again. Hey, dude.
Hey, man. Yeah, sorry. I kind of bailed on you last weekend. Had family in town, and it's tough to break away for the Easter celebrations. So.
Got to get those in, man.
Sorry about that.
You don't.
Yeah,
you...
I know. It was awesome. The grandkids were in town, so, and then some great nieces were in town, too. So it was just a house full of kids and board games and egg hunts and ham and all that stuff. So
you got to get that in while you can. You know, college and kids with their own personal life, and then they get boyfriends and girlfriends and they're off. So you only basically have right around 15, 16, 17 Easters, Christmases with your kids, mm-hmm. right? And then mm-hmm. it's all gone. And so, I really don't blame you for not being here. If it wasn't, you know, my podcast, I probably would have been, I would have taken a powder myself. Look, there's so many things I have to run by you. I commissioned a poll this week, last week. So coming into this week, and we're going to get the results, the final results on Monday when this podcast airs. The question I asked was in wake of the security detail for Joe Biden blowing around the streets of Belfast. Some dude just walked up there. Oh, look at this. Oh, this looks official. It's Joe Biden's security information for his trip to Ireland. So
right.
I started asking the question. That's not the only example. We have tons across government. What percentage of our workforce in government do you believe is competent or capable of effectively doing their jobs? 100%, 75%, 50%, or 25% or less?
Right.
I don't want to taint the poll, but let me just get your reaction. What do you think our competent participation level is in government?
Yeah, it's tough to say because there are 4 million government jobs.
Jeez.
4 million government jobs.
Do we need that many?
And no, of course we don't need that many. We had a security expert on talking about there are, I think he said, was it 9 or 11 intelligence agencies right now? What? Why isn't there one?
Well, if you think about it too, if there are 11 intelligence agencies, and it seems we're caught with our pants down more often than not.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, Bill Clinton or Joe
right,
Biden.
Right.
I'm just talking about, you know, security wise, we got 11 agencies sucking money, the marrow right out of the taxpayers. And they can't turn in good intelligence. We're sinking all that money into GovEd and they can't crank out anybody who's educated. I mean, our test scores are in the toilet. I mean, I don't think we're getting a bang for our buck, do you?
No, yeah. Absolutely not. And like I said, if I ever became president, the very first thing that I would do is have a top-down review of every single government job there is and eliminate the ones that we don't need and fire the people that aren't competent and just clean house like that. And and I think we'd be better off.
Do you know who did that?
Streamlined government.
Reagan came in. That was the first thing he did, is commissioned an audit of where all the money was going, which agencies. Right. And yeah, he really was his big push, even when he was a Democrat, was to curtail these mindless boards and bureaucracies inside of government. He really believed it was the road to hell. And it really is. We have an all powerful government right now that is, again, sucking the bone marrow out of our taxpayers and again, lording over us and exercising authority to justify their existence. And nothing makes sense. You know what I mean?
Four million people, and they don't produce one single product.
Nope. They're all consumers. They don't produce a thing.
It's just insane, man. So,
well, that kind of
really frustrating. Yeah, go ahead.
That dovetails into this Pew Research Center, 1958-2022, is the range in which they were measuring public trust in government. Now, back in the 1960s, when Eisenhower and Kennedy was when they started asking this question, 75% during the Eisenhower administration trusted government. It actually went up to 77% out of Kennedy and into Johnson. But after Johnson took over, that's when it really started to just crater down into the 25% range into the Carter years, significantly bouncing back into the 40s under Reagan, even getting as high during the first Bush to 47%, sinking with Clinton, rising with George W. Bush after 2001. But guess where it is? The low point, since they've been keeping track, of course, was the Obama administration, and that was in 2011. And then Joe Biden, being run by the same people as during the Obama administration, Joe Biden is near historic lows for trust in government. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about this before too. Dude, it's been 2 years and the whole country has just gone to hell. The whole thing in 2 years. And it's so frustrating. Just gas hit. I couldn't believe it. Gas hit $3.59 a gallon. That's for gas, regular gas.
Yeah.
Diesel was at $3.39 a gallon. Gas is higher than diesel right now.
Well, and the reason why diesel is so expensive is the taxes. Diesel is so much more heavily taxed than regular.
No, I'm talking regular fuel.
No, no, I get what you're saying. I'm saying that normally what pushes diesel fuel normally to a higher price point than regular fuel is that the taxes are exorbitantly more on diesel fuel. Yeah. And of course, who does that hurt? Anybody who receives products at the store, that hurts all of us. But again, but you're right. So where the hell did you see $3.59?
That's what I paid the other day when I had to go to work.
Oh my Lord.
And it's come down a little bit. I think it was $3.41 yesterday, but $3.59. I mean, it just goes back to Trump's last day in office. It was $1.79 here in Texas.
Well,
and now it's almost $2 higher.
Well, you hear all those oil producing nations that want to start using the yuan, the Chinese yuan, to do their transactions. They're all going to cut back a million barrels of production a month, I guess. And that's going to cause these prices to spike, because here in our country, the Democrats are, we have to cut back. We can't get our own energy. We got to cut back and go to all batteries, which, of course, you know, there are tons of battery operated cars out there. Oh, wait, there aren't. So we're just going to be up the creek without a paddle, don't you think?
Right. Yep. Right. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Well, now
it's crazy when you're living paycheck to paycheck like I am on that razor's edge. It's not quite as sharp as it has been in points of my life, but still it's not like I'm banking every week huge amounts of money. It's really hard. Well, and you just gotta watch your budget like crazy.
Tax day is coming up the day after this podcast airs, so this may or may not make you feel good about tax day. A journalist reveals how Ukraine embezzled $400 million from U.S. taxpayers.
Yeah.
Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky and several other top Ukrainian officials reportedly embezzled hundreds of millions of dollars in American aid that was supposed to go toward purchasing diesel fuel, Sean. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist Seymour Hersh, who's a big lefty, suggests this amount could be as high as $400 million. What do you say?
Oh, it doesn't really shock me. I think that happens in every war and every with every country that gets aid. You know, there's going to be skimmers off the top. And I know Zelensky was personally allegedly taking some. So $400 million, I mean, yeah, that's a huge, ridiculous amount of money. But in the, what has it been, $3 trillion worth of aid or something like that? Or $3 billion worth of aid that we've given them? It's a nickel, you know.
It's a drop in the bucket, but to an individual, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
getting
stupid.
rich off the taxpayers, the generosity of the American people, and while you struggle to put gas in your tank, while all Americans are struggling to find products on their shelves, struggling to put gas in their tanks to make ends meet. In Beijing Biden's Democrat economy, here's Volodymyr Zelensky, courtesy of the hardworking American taxpayers, getting filthy rich off of this war.
Yep. I don't know. Doesn't shock me. Nothing shocks me anymore, man. Nothing shocks me anymore.
Did you hear the latest about Budweiser?
As far as the government goes. Yeah, they've been losing. Well, Bud Light has been losing they've lost like $6 billion worth of.
I hear anywhere between $5 and $7 billion. Anheuser-Busch, the parent company of Bud Light, is reporting that. And now they're coming out saying, first off, we're management and we had no idea this was happening. Uh-huh.
Right.
Sure. Because, you know, major ad campaigns always happen without the CEO's knowledge. It
happens
all the time.
Tap the brakes. Tap the brakes. Because you are falling into the same trap.
What?
That every other media person has fallen into.
What?
This was not a major advertising campaign. They sent cases with his face on them, on the cans, to Dylan Mulvaney because he's an internet influencer. So it wasn't a produced campaign. It wasn't a TV ad. It was nothing like that. Just sent cans of beer with his face on them, dressed as a woman, and he promoted that on, you know, to his 10 million followers on Instagram and TikTok or whatever he's on. So
you're saying this was no major push. I don't believe it.
You said major advertising campaign. It was not that.
It is.
No, it's not.
Wait a minute.
Major advertising campaign.
The
radio, television, everything.
Right,
else.
Right. The major campaign. This is called what they call earned media, and using the influencers. They have a major media targeting plan to use people with a lot of following to use them to promote their beer.
Yes.
So that
cost them $100, not the millions in what you would call a major
advertising campaign. I wasn't talking about their expenditure. What I was talking about is this is a major ad campaign or push by the money they spend is immaterial to me. The fact that somebody sat down and said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with a major advertising push to rope in these influencers and promote."
Not a major advertising push.
Okay, all right.
A major advertising push means I'm seeing it on TV.
And
that's all you're seeing on stories about this.
Yeah. Well.
Yes, but that is not advertising.
Oh. Okay.
That is.
All right.
It's an influencer.
All right.
And you know my stance on all this boycott stuff. If they lose $1 billion or, you know, $7 billion, I don't care.
I don't care either.
It seems like it was a dumb idea to go with that strategy.
Okay. I shouldn't call it an ad campaign. Let me call it a strategy like you just did. We'll call it a strategy. This was a major marketing strategy implemented by Anheuser-Busch. Okay. Right. It was. That's precisely what it was. And my main point is the idea that the head honchos in the company had no idea what was going on is stupid. You would have to be an idiot to believe that.
Well, they hired the woman that put the thing together. So I forget her name. It's some crazy German name, but, anyway, yeah, we were talking about this at work, and the people who come up with these kinds of ideas live in their own little bubbles and have no idea that Bud Light has been a working class beer for a long, long time, or fratty, as she called it, you know, and that they're just not going to, they're not going to identify with that. And wow. The people that, this woman that put this together runs in circles that is on a coast, probably, in huge leftist circles with all leftist friends, and think it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread that we have these brave souls in transgenders. Well, guess what? The most of America doesn't agree with that. So,
well,
this is what you get.
And I'm with you on the idea that, well, if a major company wants to step in a big pile of poop, more power to them. It's your money. You want to go ahead and tick off your customer base because you're not interested in who they are. You're interested in showing who you are. If it's all about you, then go ahead and whiz away $7 billion.
I don't care, and I don't care that it's cost them billions of dollars.
I don't either.
I know you like this kind of stuff. Me personally, if I drink Bud Light, I would still keep drinking Bud Light because I liked it.
Well,
these boycotts, these things like that, just I'm not going to let the left win.
Well, again,
stuff I like.
I'm not going to reward the left. Right. And see, you're not going to let them win, but you're going to fund them. And I'm just like, whenever I possibly can, I'm going to defund them. Yeah. I don't want to reward if a left winger comes out and puts out a product that I either don't like or wants to, you know, screw with a product that I do like and say, well, we're going to change all of that because of our woke ideology. And we're going to, you know, you should be forced to come along. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't need to buy your crap. I don't want to support your crap. So I'm not going to support it. I think right. I think this was an appropriate strategy. I can't call it a campaign now, apparently, but a strategy.
Well, I mean, you can, but you're going to be wrong.
Okay, fine.
And you and every other media
whatever,
member of the world is
whatever. Wrong. I think that you're kind of focusing in on the verbiage here when really it is an advertising push, whether it's a traditional campaign or not. It is something that's was designed to get Bud Light's name out there. And it ended up backfiring, okay? But I think it was appropriate because as Dylan Mulvaney is a man pretending to be a woman, Bud Light is water pretending to be beer. Just in my view.
Yeah. I've never had a Bud Light in my life, so I couldn't. But the only beer I drink are Texas made Shiner or Mexican made Modelo Negro. So
you don't like Coronas?
Those are the two I like.
You don't like?
No, Corona? I'm not a beer fan at all, really. But those two dark beers are really good. Guinness is good, but that's a meal, you know. When you
right,
have a Guinness.
I love Guinness. I love Guinness. Do you? Have you ever gone to a beer bar where they have those kegs and they have the
CO2
dispenser that you can ice your mug right there by just pushing down and it gets it all nice and cold. And there's one brewery, it's a pizzeria and brewery that I go to, and they give you a fob, and you can go and try however many ounces you want of any draft on the wall, and the fob keeps track of how many ounces you're drinking, right? And I just love craft brews. I like stouts. Yeah. I don't like light beer. I never really have. And I do like Corona. I like Corona, and I love Modelo. And Dos Equis every once in a while. I gotta be in the mood to have a Dos Equis. But I'm not a beer drinker myself, but when I do want one, those are what I prefer. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Well, there's something else I wanted to run by you. Do you know the Jeeves novels, Jeeves and Wooster. Do you know what they're about?
No.
It's where it's where the name for the butler Jeeves came from, right? Wodehouse's offerings. Well, this it's English literature, okay? And English literature is being rewritten from its original.
Yes.
The Code of the Wokesters is what it's being called in Breitbart. Publisher is censoring P.G. Wodehouse's Jeeves novels for unacceptable language. And I have never been a fan of going back and sanitizing and taking historic works and putting them into the sensibilities of today. I think it robs, A, an historical reference, and B, the original mastery and artistry that made it so popular to begin with.
Sure.
What do you say?
Yeah, I've read all the Ian Fleming, James Bond novels, and they have been cleansed as well. And, you know, with the blessing of the estate, I guess, but still, it's just, I don't know. Just don't mess with art, you know? So, and that was my argument when the whole tearing down of statues was hot and heavy, is that that's somebody's art. Just let's leave art alone, you know? The left didn't like it when religious people were taking, you know, covering up Mapplethorpes and art museums all over the country. How about we all just leave art alone? If you don't like it, don't go see it.
What's the difference between the rip? And we made this comparison because you and I were on the air at the same time. All of those statues being ripped down by Antifa and BLM to the radicalized Islamic fundamentalist terrorists in Iraq, destroying all of those antiquities, you know, because it interfered with their modern day worship of Allah or Islam. I think this is there's an analogy here. And it's Disney not putting on the Song of the South, not releasing Song of the South, the animated series that featured Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear. I can't remember all the characters.
Now torn down Splash Mountain.
Yeah, they've taken down Splash Mountain because they're judging historical context in today's sensibilities. And I think it's just so wrong to me.
I mean, if Disney doesn't want to promote that or doesn't want to, you know, or just wants to put it in the closet, I don't really care. Just so long as the copies that are out there, they're not changing, you know?
Right.
And it's a shame that they're not putting it out because it was a great movie. But it was 1947, I think.
Right.
So, yeah, sensibilities are going to be different. I mean, there's stuff from the 70s that I watched now. I was like, holy cow. That's really shocking by today's sensibilities.
Well, if it's shocking, then don't go buy it. But if you're a marketer, you shouldn't take it down because culturally things have changed. Well, fine, they may have changed. Doesn't mean you're endorsing it, but this is the way things used to be. But see, there's a segment of our population that can't accept that. They just can't accept history. Oh no, we need to revise it. We need to reform it. Do you remember what? I don't even know if you know this part about history. When the Soviet Union, when they took over Tsarist Russia, they started about getting rid of all references to religion. And to the point to where during the Christmas celebration, they changed the song Little Town of Bethlehem. And they put in Soviet devotion to Soviet government lyrics. They took the tune, but they changed all the lyrics to suit devotion to the Soviet government rather than to Jesus Christ and the celebration of God. So,
well, that's the way I've sung it since I was 9 years old. So I don't know what the big deal is.
What, the Soviet version?
Yeah.
Oh, shut
it's
up.
Fun. It's more fun.
Yeah, whatever. But you understand the broader point I'm trying to make.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well,
Yes, Chris. I do.
Well, I'm sorry. Am I making your head hurt? Well, I got one more then. I got one more.
Okay, go ahead.
North Carolina state lawmakers are getting ripped to shreds right now because they're trying to get rid of participation trophies in the state, saying, you know what, youth sports participation trophies, get rid of them, ban them, because they are undermining excellence in our society. There is no place in real life where you get a trophy just for showing up. We're teaching the wrong thing to the kids, and we shouldn't have them.
Okay.
What do you think?
You know what? You're putting a smile on a kid's face. Is it really that big a deal? You need a law that you need to spend state money on groups and sessions and all that crap to take away a smile from a kid's place or a kid's face for placing eighth in soccer? You know, who cares? I mean, there's so much nonsense in the world like that. Who gives a shit? I mean, and it's my generation, your generation,
yeah,
that effed it all up anyway. Because when I was a kid, we didn't get participation trophies. When I became a parent, somehow participation trophies became a thing. So it was your generation, my generation, the Gen Xers, that screwed it all up. And now their kids are in Congress, or they're late, you know, in their 60s or whatever, 50s, 60s, thinking, wow, how did we screw this up so bad? We got to pass a law. Like, you know, worry about something real. Who cares if a kid gets a trophy or a medal or whatever? They're going to learn hard enough life lessons later on. And if it puts a smile on their face, makes them feel better about what they did, who cares?
Okay. Well, you know what? I agree with you that I don't think this is government's role to do this.
And if you don't like the fact that your soccer league is giving out a medal for being there, then don't put your kid in the soccer league.
Right. That being said, I think I told you this story. My oldest, I took her to when she was just starting preschool. Took her to this preschool. It was supposed to be, you know, Christian centered, very advanced. So we took her there, and she came home one day with a medal. And I said, well, what'd you get that for, honey? She says, well, we had tricycle contest, and I was racing. I'm like, great. Well, what place did you get? She goes, what? I go, did you come in first place, second place, third? Oh, no. Everybody got a medal. So, and I was paying for this preschool, right? I was down there the next day. I yanked her out. I said, no way am I going to have that reinforced in my child. Sure. We don't do participation trophies. There is no participation trophy in life. You need to strive for excellence. Our children need to be taught to aim high. And as a parent, I took her out. I said, and sure as hell, I'm not going to pay for this garbage to be put into my kid's head. So that's what I did. That's what I did.
Your prerogative. And, you know, that's fine. I don't care. Yeah. But to have government involved in that.
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
Ridiculous.
It is. It is ridiculous because, look, we conservatives can't have it both ways. We either want limited constitutional government or we don't.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You can't legislate morality. You can have a base set of principles, of course, our Judeo-Christian ethic, which is the underpinning of that constitution. But, you know, you just need to butt out of people's personal lives and give them the power to make the decisions themselves. That's why I'm such a big proponent for school choice. I think, you know, I don't think it's government's role to administer education. Who said it was their role to administer education? Nobody. Nobody.
Well, I guess when they passed the laws that there has to be, then I guess they took on that role.
Well, again, if a law regulating participation trophies is wrong, then a law mandating education is also wrong. You know, if you're either limited government or you're not. So if yeah. we, and you know what, and if we've made up the mind that, yeah, we're going to dedicate an educated population is going to benefit our society, fine. But the parents have damn well better be the ones pulling the strings, not government. So that's just the way I feel about it. Hey, man, well, look at this. We're almost a half an hour show behind the show. So you came back with a vengeance, my friend. Sean Chastain, everybody, the show behind the show. Talk to you next week.
All right. Peace out, Girl Scout.
That puts the wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast, the show behind the show. For those of you who don't know where that came from, Sean and I used to work in terrestrial radio together, and some of the conversations we'd have off the air about news of the day got to be pretty, as you could tell, pretty intense and a lot of debates. So we decided when I launched the podcast that we'd try to replicate some of those debates so you guys could actually hear them. And as you heard, uncensored. All right, folks, till we visit again, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there.